to two different places. I want to preach about America, I said today. And I've got here a prescription for America that I really liked. I want to read the introduction of Dr. George Alquist, Jr. And I want to see, first off, the scriptures about where he is going. And so let's start in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. There's a familiar verse there. And then if you would, open also to the book of Joel, okay? It's on page 931 if you have a Scofield Reference Bible. Other than that, it's right after Hosea. Someone give me this. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, okay? Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2, and I want to look more or less at the whole book of Joel. In answer to the question, what happens if America doesn't follow the prescription here? That's given. So I'm not going to preach Brother Alquist's message, but I'm going to reference it and his introduction and again understand that there is a prescription for America. The thing about prescriptions is you've got to take them, okay? The thing about prescriptions is, again, you got to follow the directions of the doctor. And so with this prescription, the same is true. And so we're going to look at his prescription for righteousness briefly, or prescription for America briefly, and then we'll go ahead and look at what happens if America does not follow that prescription. One of his points, of course, is going to be out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. And we'll just look at a couple verses. Second Chronicles. I'm sorry. How many times did I say Corinthians there?
A lot.
Chronicles, Old Testament. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. And that's on page 497 in your Scofield Reference Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And look with me again at verse 14. Again, I trust it's a familiar. And certainly this is a prescription for Christians. And what Brother Alquist outlined here is a prescription for America. And certainly this one here is a good dose of prescription for Christians. And let's look at what God says to Solomon after Solomon prays. That he would hear the prayers of his people. And God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." There's a good prescription right there, a list of things that my people, God says, need to do. Then look at the result. "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Trust me, our land needs to be healed. Look now at Joel chapter 2. And it says, Joel chapter 2, verse 1. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Father, praise you for your word. Thank you for its warnings to nations. Pray again, Father, that as we would look at that, even for our own nation, that you'd prepare our hearts to stand in your righteousness and make a difference even in the United States of America, in upstate New York, in Yates County. Father, again, that you'd hear our prayer and our message tonight. And Father, that you'd again heal our land. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. We pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Dr. George Alquist said this, "America is in the state of great need. It is through our nation. It is as though our nation has lost its way. As for me, I'm watching a new America arise out of the crumbling foundations of the old. I'm seeing and hearing things in this great land that I have never seen or heard before. I heard my president say that America is no longer a Christian country. I heard my president say that America is not exceptional. I heard my president say that America needs to change. I've watched as my president made apologies for his country. I've watched as America's reputation and standing in the world community have slipped. I've watched as our public schools have become killing fields. I've watched as our courts and our executive government have eschewed our founding constitution. I've watched as the symbols of Christianity have been banished from one place after another. America wants prosperity and blessing, peace and tranquility, but America does not want God. At least not the God of the Christians, not the Bible's God. I'm afraid we are now watching the incremental downfall of the world's greatest nation. In recent history, some of America's leaders have been cutting away at our country's moorings, kicking over the traces of America's exceptional achievements, and chipping away at the very foundation upon which this great country has established or was established and which have made her great. History is being rewritten, and America is receiving an image makeover that makes her more ugly than beautiful. Our national heroes and founding fathers are being maligned, and America's motives are being impugned. Our morals are decaying, our influence is waning, our power is ebbing, and our spiritual infrastructure is collapsing. While our politicians are pondering, when we have a physical malady or ailment, we go to a medical doctor. He often writes a prescription of that which is available to help us get better and hopefully to cure us. Today I offer a spiritual prescription for America. It's powerful. So again, the points that he goes on to make is, number one, America needs to embrace righteousness. And man does not have righteousness. The LGBT community has no righteousness. In fact, it is an abomination to God. And yet it is embraced by America, and it is flagrantly promoted by our president, and more so in the last year of his office. I mean, every month it's something new. It started again with the sodomites being allowed in the military, sodomites allowed in marriage. The next month it was our bathroom issue again. The next month again now is transvestites that don't know whether they're male or female and don't know how to check are being allowed to serve in our military. Lord help us again. So the moorings, even as he said here so eloquently, are gone. But again, to exalt righteousness, true righteousness. Righteousness, always right. And there's only one that's always right. And America needs to embrace righteousness. As I read down through his message, I kept thinking, you know, what would it take for America to embrace righteousness? Exactly what our executive office, our judicial system, and even our Congress are doing to embrace unrighteousness, to embrace evil, to embrace immorality, needs to be exactly done in the opposite. That this nation would embrace righteousness. Number two, Dr. Elquist outlines that America needs to return to the God of the Holy Bible. The God of the Bible. A God to be feared. A God to be reverenced. A God to be recognized as our Creator. And he didn't use an ounce of evolution to do in his creation account. So again, America needs to return to the God of the Bible as their creator, and as the one that they will give answer to as the judge of the whole earth. And number three, even as we read in 2 Chronicles, there needs to be a revival among God's people. If my people, which are called by my name. And notice again, it's not if my people, which call themselves by my name, but if my people, which are called by my name. And again, we need to be that people first. And then we need to follow that prescription, revival among God's people. I've been reprimanded by several preachers because I am starting to lean on this idea that I don't think America could taste of a revival. And after this past year, that taste is stronger in my mouth. I don't believe that America could have a revival. After the things that we've seen in our government, it would take an absolute miracle to overturn even the sodomite rules that this country has taken over. And that doesn't include the abortion stuff that's going on. And again, just to listen to the dialogue on our TV stations and in the populace, again, is, again, discouraging that, again, our nation could ever embrace righteousness or return to the God of the Bible. And again, I do see that it's possible that God's people might come back to God in a strong and new and revitalized way for revival among God's people. So that's the prescription that's given here. But I want to again look at what God says about His own nation. As we read through, and again we're going to start on these Sunday nights looking at some of the minor prophets and going right up through some of the major prophets. We're going to try and do them in a chronological order. It's just miraculous to look at them. And we've read them here in the past couple months again in our Bible reading. We have that chronological order where we're reading the Bible chronologically in the order that the books were written, and consequently we stopped at 2 Kings and jumped off into the writings of Solomon and David, and then we again read of Ezra and Nehemiah, and then we again stop and go and read the minor prophets that preached again to the nation of Israel for the downfall of Israel. And that's what Joel is. Joel is one of the very earliest prophets. And Joel again gives us prophecy. It's interesting to look at because it mentions here the day of the Lord cometh, as I read in Joel chapter 2. And to understand that there is a judge is coming. And again, the idea that God is going to come and He's going to judge the nations of the earth. Certainly we understand He's going to judge the souls of men. But here again, He's coming as a judge of nations. He's coming again to sit as King of Kings and on the throne of thrones again. And He is going to again be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sitting on His throne in the city of Jerusalem on the hills of Zion, even as Psalms chapter 2. But before He does that, the Bible says that God's going to take the nations of the earth and make them His footstool, and God is going to judge the nations. And so as we look here at the judgment of nations, understand that the book of Joel is a very powerful prophecy. And I'd almost begin to go ahead and just take the time tonight to read you the whole book of Joel in one sitting. If you were following along our Bible reading schedule, you sat down and read all three chapters. We're doing three chapters a day normally. We read all three chapters of Joel. And I've done it since then again and found myself just in tears as I picture my own nation fitting into the framework that's described here for the judgment of God to be meted out upon the nation of Israel. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And in the morning spread upon mountains a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of the flame of fire that devoureth a stubble, as strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb up upon the houses, and they shall enter into the widows or windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. He is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. I want you to know that there's coming a judgment here upon this earth, and some of it could very well fall upon the world before the rapture occurs. Understand that there are some world wars yet programmed again for our nation according to the Bible. And there might be others that man induces himself. But again, there are some world wars coming where man shakes his fist at God. And I could never understand when I was a youth how America could shake their fist at God. But boy, even in these past 8 years, I understand more fully that America is in a position right now to shake their fist at God and defy Him as their Creator, defy Him as the chosen nation of Israel, as His chosen people, and turn their back on Israel. And so we see again that our nation is in trouble, and there is coming a judgment. That which I read you here out of Joel chapter 2 is talking about the judgment of the nations. Look at chapter 3 and verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war and make up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause they mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be weakened or wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, and their wickedness is great. Boy, again, we find here a picture of America. We find here again a description of our wickedness. I read in Daniel chapter 9 again this week the prayer that Daniel gave for the wickedness of his people. And boy, we need to pray for America and ask for the mercy of God and ask for the forgiveness of God for our own nation that has turned against him. And here I've read again of a great judgment of the nations, and it's coming. And our nation, America, has prepared itself and is ready for that very same judgment. It has crossed God off of its list of priorities, crossed Him off as their Creator, crossed Him off as their God. And again, as they embrace the LGBT, the lesbian, gay, transvestite community, and said, hey, these are our new endangered ones, and they've exalted them to a place where they are more important than your rights. They have more rights than you have. And they've done it again, thinking that they're doing a great civil action on America and finally giving these people their due dessert. And so again, as we understand that, that it is shaking their fist in the hand of God. And to understand that and to see again that our nation is now prepared to stand in this judgment of God our nation, again, is ready to align itself with all the Muslim nations that have pitted themselves against Israel, God's chosen people, and said that we need to, again, wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That is their charter. That's their admitted charter. And they will not back down from that. That's what ISIS is all about. And again, they've established a state, again, that would, again, be a new world order, as it were. And as we again see that America is falling in line behind the Muslim nations again, America for the first time has had a president that has called Israel the occupiers of Palestinian land. No time in history has a nation ever of America ever called Israel anything but friend. And now we have a president that in his first speech in a foreign country told Egypt that Israel is the occupiers of a foreign land and they need to be removed from that land. America has sided again against God in every step that they could align against God. And America is deserving of all the judgment that I just read there. And but for the mercy that we pray down from heaven, America will stand in that judgment. Yes. Look with me now. Look with me now to Joel chapter 3. And look with me at verse 16. There is coming, again, a full blessing. Even through all the battle of Armageddon. Think about the battle of Armageddon and understand that it comes again in Revelation chapter 19 is a description of that. And the beginning of battle of Armageddon is this. In comes riding the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a white horse again with his vesture dipped in blood. And that is, again, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes into the land of hills of Zion. And his foot touches down on the Mount of Olives. And he comes again to bring victory. Boy, again, I want us to understand that we're looking for the Lord to come and to take back his church. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But he's coming for his church, and then he's coming with his church. He's coming for his saints, and then he's coming with his saints. And again, we're talking about his coming here with his saints. If you've paid attention through our hunt for the last October prophecy conference, you know, again, that there's 7 years of tribulation like this world has never seen or will ever see again upon this earth. The judgment upon the nations of this earth. And yet, all through that judgment, the nations of this earth still, even the United States of America, shake their fist at God and are in rebellion, open rebellion against Jehovah God. But there is coming a day of the Lord. I forgot where I heard it, but someone had said, was that one of the Johnsons, J. Vernon McGee? I think it was Vernon McGee. Someone had said that, Billy Graham, do you believe we're in the last days? And Billy Graham said, no, I don't. I think we're in the last hours. And listen, we are in the last days before the coming of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is fast approaching. But boy, again, as we understand the day of the Lord approaching, I want, again, one more time, even to emphasize here in the book of Joel, starting in chapter 3 and verse 16. The Lord shall also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now let's stop right there and think for a moment of what all of the apostate church believes. Every Roman Catholic church and every Protestant church that has pulled out of Rome believes this, that they are the new children of God. That they, Calvinists, believe they are the new elect of God. And so when they're arguing about election, it's not about election, really. It's about whether they are the replacement of the children of Israel or not. And again, Calvinism, Presbyterianism, Methodist Church, and their doctrine all believe, again, that Christianity and Christians today are the replacement of Israel, and God is all done with Israel. Consequently, you find again the Presbyterian Church again just issued a decree that they will not support anyone who supports Israel. And so again, to understand that all the Protestant churches are apostate in this teaching, and they always have been. Dallas Theological Seminary caters and pampers to largely the Presbyterian Church, and they wouldn't say anything that would hurt their wallet or their pocketbook down at Dallas Theological Seminary. And so when it comes to preaching the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church, they tiptoe around and say, well, we really can't be certain because it's all allegorical literature. Listen, this is not allegorical literature. This is the real stuff, all right? And the Lord will return, and we will meet Him with the air, and we will then return with the Lord when He is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so notice here in this verse, verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion. We all know where Zion is. It's not the land of seven hills, which is Rome. And utter His voice from Jerusalem. Everyone understand where Jerusalem is. This is not figurative. This is not speaking figuratively. This is not speaking allegorically. Again, this is speaking literally that God is going to be in the hills of Zion. He's going to be in the city of Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. And there's coming a shaking to this old world, it says in Hebrews 13. And the Lord will be the hope of His people. And again, that's not talking about Christians. And you can tell from the very next phrase, and the strength of the children of Israel. God made some promises to Israel, and God's going to fulfill them. That looks bad right now for Israel. The plight, again, that Israel is in, where every nation of this world turns against them. And even our own nation, God help us, turning their back on Israel and in defiance of Israel and some of their actions. Again, understand that those are God's chosen people, and He is coming back to save the nation of Israel. It is not the church that He's talking about here. It is the nation of Israel, the children of Israel. Verse 17. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Psalms chapter 2 is referenced right there. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and the fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. The close of the book of Joel. As again, I want to emphasize that, hey, God has a judgment of all nations that turn against Him. And again, our nation has turned horribly in these past 8 years under this past regime that we're living under. The direction, every decision that's made been made by our courts, every executive order that He has done is one of immorality and error, and has led America to turn. Remember when He had that Hopi changey thing and His idea that He was going to change America? He's changed America. He's changed the course of our nation. It has now gone down a road of recognizing Allah as God. It's now gone down a road of recognizing sodomy as a normal way of life. And if you're again, boy, again, understand that all of NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, they all stand again on the idea that, hey, you can't say anything against sodomy. Or else you violate someone's rights. Well, again, it won't be very long before they'll find out what we're preaching right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And TV2 News will show up again to record your preacher. And boy, it won't be long. We've already seen the warnings. We've already seen the signs that, again, our federal government will turn against those who preach against the civil rights of people. And again, we're going to preach it. And understand again that we're not very far off from that right now. And our nation, again, if it keeps going on the course that it's been on in the past year, in the past couple months, if it keeps going on the course that it's going on, boy, I don't think we'll make it through another presidency, another 4 years before what? They'll be putting Christians in jail for preaching the Holy Word of God. We're not far from it. Boy, again, I want us to recognize that our nation needs, again, more than revival. It needs to embrace righteousness. It needs to return to the God of the Bible. And if my people, God's people, needs again to turn to Him. Open your Bible. Turn back a couple pages to Daniel chapter 9. Let me just highlight this prayer one more time that Daniel prays. Daniel chapter 9 says this: in the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, he's stepping back in time here again from some of the other events that were recorded, so it's interesting to look at the timing of this prayer. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years wherewith the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, we'll again understand before that we could see this prescription followed to embrace righteousness, to return to the God of the Bible, and that God's people would turn back to Him. There needs to be in our country, yea, listen, in our own lives, a prayer, a supplication, a fasting, a sackcloth, and an ashes. Could America see revival again? I don't believe it can. Until first, it sees prayer, supplications, fasting. Not much fasting going on. And even in the Baptist circles I hang with, independent, fundamental, KJV, I've only sat through a couple messages on fasting. Boy, it's an important part, again, of getting a hold of God. Sackcloth and ashes. We need a revival in America. We need a great turning. And we'll not see it until God's people begin with some of these prescriptions, even for our own. Father, praise You. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You again, Father, for the promise of revival in America. Lord, I pray again that You'd even get a hold of our hearts here. We're just a little people. We're just a dot on a map in upstate New York. But Father, that You could get a hold of our heart and begin a revival even in our lives that cause again that Yates County might turn to righteousness. Cause again, Father, that Good Samaritan Baptist Church might be a lighthouse of a people who are surrendered to You and looking again for Your Son and His return. Father, I pray again that You touch our heart as we live in a vile and wicked land, that we would know how to, again, lift up the name of our Savior, Your Son, that we might again set, as it were, our candle on a hill, cause again, Father, that we could be a light of the world. Each one here, again, will bump into someone who needs to hear about You in this next week coming before us. And I pray again, Father, that You'd help us to be the light, that You'd fill us with Your Spirit, that You'd give again us a hope and a wonder at Your goodness, that we could again be preachers of righteousness in a vile land. We'll give you the praise now again for touching our nation. We confess the sins of our nation. We're ashamed of its fist shaken in your face, its rebellion against you as their creator, and especially against you as the Lord God of this whole earth. And as we would again live in a land that's in rebellion against thee, I pray again that you'd find in each one of us a heart of submission. And Father, again, a heart of meekness that would carry forth the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our walk, in our travels, in our talk, and in this week. We'll give you all the praise and ask that in the name of Christ. And for his name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we could look.